With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show Coast to Coast right here on CBS Sports Radio across all of our great local affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 206, and also the radio.com application. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. And you could always send me your thoughts and give me a follow on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb, that's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, on our networks account at CBS Sports Radio. Connor Green alongside the other way, and we got a jam-packed show for you. Not one, not two, but three awesome guests for you before we do say goodbye at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, coming up at the top of the hour. Another big Sunday night football game this week as we inch closer to week three. Get started tomorrow night when you got the Dolphins and the Jaguars, and coming up on Sunday, you got a little showdown with the Green Bay Packers going to the Superdome. No fans in New Orleans. You will get to see Drew Brees and the Saints. So a little Rodgers and Brees as the Packers are 2-0, red hot to start off the season. And the Saints won good week against the Bucs, and then a miserable performance on Monday Night Football up against the Las Vegas Raiders. So Michelle Tafoya does a great job. Sideline reporter, Sunday Night Football on NBC. Bum, bum, ba-da-bum, bum, ba-da-da-da-da-da-dum. She'll join us coming up at the top of the hour. Then at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, we have to talk about the passing of a legend in Gale Sayers, who unfortunately did pass away today at the age of 77 after a battle with dementia. And if you've listened to this show before, you know how close, and the way that I feel about dementia just because of my grandfather, and to see the absolute hell that he had to go through for nearly 10 years. So we will talk about the passing of Gale Sayers coming up later on in the show. And we'll do so with one of the best talk show hosts in Chicago. David Haw is going to stop by. Not only will we talk about the legend that did pass away, we will also get into the Bears, who are surprisingly 2-0. We'll see if Bears fans are having a little bit more confidence now in Mitch Trubisky, and also tap into a little bit about the basketball team, the Chicago Bulls. They're trying to get back to being relevant. They hired Billy Donovan yesterday, right when our show yesterday did commence. And then coming up at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific, Bucks fans, we got a treat for you. No, it's not Gronk. It's not Mike Evans. It's not Tom Brady. It's not Bruce Arians. We're going to have Antoine Winfield Jr., rookie safety for the Bucks. Had a big game on Sunday against Carolina. Had the strip sack. Did a nice job hitting Teddy Bridgewater, getting that ball loose, which the Bucks did recover. And also had 11 tackles in the game. So we'll tap into a little bit about what's going on with Tampa Bay at 1-1. I'm very optimistic, and I think the Bucks are going to have a monster, monster season. And they got the banged-up Denver Broncos coming up on Sunday in Denver. So a whole lot to do, and as always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, or closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. I want to start off, though, with the quarterbacks of the National Football League. Because if you look at the top four quarterbacks in the league right now, I would say in no order, Aaron Rodgers is a top four quarterback. And I don't think everyone was saying that before the season. Some people were basically tapping out on Rodgers because of the organization, not getting him a legit number two wide receiver, even though Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and you have seen Alan Lazard play well through the first two games. I know Rodgers does trust Marquez Valdez-Scantling and also Alan Lazard going back to last year. Davante Adams got banged up this past week, did not practice today, is expected to play coming up on Sunday against the Saints. And Aaron Jones, this guy is so confident and he's so damn good. I remember talking to Aaron Jones at the Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl 53, so two Super Bowls ago. And he guaranteed me last year, or in the Super Bowl 53 year, that his team the following year was going to be in Miami the next year and be going to the Super Bowl. And they almost got there. They almost got there. They lost in the NFC Championship game where they got their doors blown off by San Francisco last year. So you have a Packers team that I'm not fully bought in them on them yet, because I still have some concerns with the defense when you go up against some better offenses and you get to see some of the better rushing attacks in the league. Those are things that could stand out. Now, you did a nice job up against the Vikings in week one, and Rodgers was a stud. In week two, you fell behind early to the Lions, and then you blew them out. I'm really curious what's going to happen on Sunday night, because you get a Packers team that is hot out of the gate and a Saints team where I think there are some concerns because they don't have Michael Thomas right now. I don't believe Drew Brees is all-time great anymore, even though he's an all-time great quarterback. I think some of the hate this week for the Saints is a little too strong. And don't get me wrong, I got into it yesterday. We've questioned if this team could go and win 3-4 playoff games and win a Super Bowl and have to win four if they don't get the bye this year. Because remember, seven teams that make the playoffs, only one bye. So the bye is as important as ever. And I look at this Saints team and I look at the NFC. You know, there's questions in the NFC. Because going into the year, I thought four teams had a chance to win the Super Bowl in the NFC. Saints, Bucks, and then the two teams in the NFC West with the 49ers and the Seahawks. Seahawks look great. Bucks, 1-1. I think that team's going to really get on a groove and get on a run and find their groove. Saints, some people jumping off the bandwagon after the lackluster performance against the Raiders. And you take a glance at the 49ers, they got a lot of injuries. Bosa now done for the year. Raheem Mostert now hurt. You had injury problems going into the season. Looks like Jimmy G's not going to play this week, so Nick Mullins is going to play for the 49ers, and you got a matchup against the Giants, which you still should win because the Giants don't have Saquon Barkley. You still should be able to find a way to win. There are concerns, though, with the 49ers and how banged up they are. So with those four teams that I mentioned, and some having concerns with the Saints, some having now concerns with the 49ers, and it does open the door up for the Packers. And other than that, it's tough to really believe in any of these other teams. Like, I like what the Cardinals are doing. I like what the Rams are doing. Do I view them yet as Super Bowl contenders? I don't. Dallas, you know me, before this year, I thought Dallas was going to win the NFC East, and I thought the Eagles were going to be very bad. I still don't view Dallas as a contender because we haven't seen Dallas be the Dallas that I thought they were going to be this year so far. Week one, offense was brutal. Give them credit last week for coming on back. I know that that's a performance that you take the victories as you get them in this league. Still, though, should I be jumping up and down if I'm a Cowboys fan? Yeah, like, you should be happy you got the victory. You should be in a state of euphoria because of how ridiculously stupid the Falcons were down the stretch. I look back at that game, and even though Dak played really well, I think he had like 450 yards, I don't say, wow, oh my God, what a job by Dallas. I say, how the heck did the Falcons blow another big lead once again? And how the heck did they forget the rules of football when it comes to recovering an onside kick? So this NFC, it's open. I'm just going to be curious to see who's that team that really takes the baton and run with it. So when I get to the top four quarterbacks in the league, like I said, Rodgers, and this is in no order, Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, It's Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. And all four of those quarterbacks have some fun matchups this week. Because you got Rodgers going up against the Saints, like we said. You got Mahomes and the Ravens going up against one another, Mahomes and Jackson. And then you get to see Seattle. Seattle goes up against Dallas in Seattle. So all four of those quarterbacks, to me, those are the four best quarterbacks in the league right now. And I'm curious as to what they're going to do this week because all four of those teams have something to prove. Packers got to show that they could keep on doing what they've been doing the first 2 weeks and you get your toughest opponent of the season. You then see Chiefs and Ravens. We've seen Lamar Jackson and Mahomes go up against it twice. Ravens have lost both of those games. Both those games, though, have been very close. And for the Ravens, even whatever they do in this regular season, it will draw a reaction. Their time and their clock really doesn't start to tick until they get in the postseason. Because if you look at the Ravens, I'll make two comparisons. The Ravens are like the Bucks in the NBA, where all throughout the regular season, it was, look how great the Bucks are. All the Bucks should get to the finals. In reality, though, we knew that we weren't going to really start judging and the pressure really wasn't going to start to be on the Bucks until the playoffs. And for the Ravens, they've got off to a great start in this Lamar Jackson era the last 2 years. People, though, remember what they see last. And the two last performances for Lamar Jackson, as great as he's been, and he's been an MVP, and let's not overreact after his first two postseason performances. He didn't play well, though, up against the Chargers. And remember, people were calling for Joe Flacco to get back in the game. And then last year, you saw him break out, have an MVP season, and he was sensational. He's someone that I've always been rooting for. And I never got the conversation on why he should be a wide receiver, why they should have worked him out a wide receiver at the Combine. And last year, as great as he was, unanimous MVP, all that, got into the playoffs, and Tennessee ran right off the field. They ran you right off the field, and you got down, and you had no counterpunch. So when I look at Lamar Jackson, I'll compare him directly to Giannis Antetokounmpo, where he's already won an MVP. He could have another MVP season. Means nothing, though, unless if you get to the promised land. And for that Ravens team, there's a lot of similarities between them and the Bucs. Now, you get to the other three quarterbacks, because we just tackled the Lamar Jackson situation, who is just sensational. He's a video game highlight each and every week. That's someone that is a face of a league, and you just hope that he stays healthy. That's what you hope, because he is that fun to watch, and he's that captivating when you do watch him on the television. You get to the other three quarterbacks. Rodgers, we already know he's a legend. For Rodgers, though, the question is, and maybe his team isn't set up to do so. They've done a nice job the first 2 weeks. Can you get another ring? Because if Rodgers' career ends with one ring, I'm not going to say that he was a failure. Because he's historically one of the best quarterbacks ever, and he does some things that we've never seen before from quarterbacks in this league. With Rodgers, though, if you told me he got a Super Bowl going up against the Steelers and that was going to be his only one, not only his only victory, his only appearance, there is some sort of disappointment to that where you'll sit back and you go, why couldn't they go get to another Super Bowl? Why couldn't they go win another Super Bowl? And they've had chances. They've been in a few NFC championship games since then. You had the debacle against Seattle, a game they should have won. And then the other two, they failed to show up against Atlanta in Super Bowl 51 in that season. And then last year, they failed to show up against the 49ers. So I look at Rodgers. Rodgers still great. You wonder if his team still has it. And you know LaFleur is going to put more of an emphasis on running the football. As you saw 2 years ago, before he was there, they were 32nd in the league. Last year, they were middle of the pack. And I bet you they try to run the football more this year. However, if Rodgers keeps on playing the way that he does the first 2 weeks, if you're Matt LaFleur, you shut up, you genuflect Aaron Rodgers and let him run the offense the way that he wants to run it. So that leaves me with Russ and Mahomes. And Russell Wilson, he may be, and this is a tough statement to make because of the guy I haven't talked about yet in Mahomes and the guy I just talked about with Lamar Jackson. Russell Wilson may be the most enjoyable player to watch in the National Football League. He may be the most entertaining player to also watch in the National Football League. What he did on Sunday night against a very good Patriots secondary, not a good Patriots defense, but a good Patriots secondary. He dropped two ridiculous dimes to DK Metcalf, who was on Stephon Gilmore, and Gilmore had good coverage. And then the other one was to Moore. I think it was on Jason McCourty. For Russell Wilson, here's been the story of his career. For a while, we didn't understand his greatness because we were distracted by the defense with guys like Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, Cliff Averill, Michael Bennett. You know all the big names on the Seahawks. The last 2-3 years, they have reshaped that Seahawks team where it has become Russ's team. And people thought the Seahawks were going to fade away. The last 2 years, they made the playoffs both years. And Russell Wilson could have won the MVP in both those seasons if it wasn't because of the historical seasons that we saw from not only Patrick Mahomes, but also Lamar Jackson. And then you get in, when we talk about the top four quarterbacks, like I said, Rodgers, no order, Rodgers, Lamar, and Russ. Then you got Pat Mahomes, who Pat Mahomes, even with what I just said about Russ, he's the most exciting. Like, that's such a great conversation. Who's more exciting? Russ, you go Lamar, or do you go Patrick Mahomes? Because Patrick Mahomes has done some things in this league that I've never seen anyone do. The no-look passes. Yes, we've seen Brady come back from ridiculous games, and he's got that Brady feel to him where, even though they're different style of quarterbacks, but what I'm saying by that is no matter how bad of a start they get off to, no matter what the score is, you know they're capable of a comeback. And we've seen that. And now we've kind of just expected it. In the playoffs, they're down 24 points to the Texans. You expected them to get back into it. Then they're down 10 points to Tennessee. You expect them to get back into it. Even with 7.5 to go, doesn't play 3 good quarters in the Super Bowl. 7.5 to go, they're down 10, and you still expect them to come on back. And even last week, I know they're going up against a rookie. I know that they're going up against the Chargers. It was 17-9. That team looked dead. And then he just completed that beautiful touchdown pass to Cheetah Tyreek Hill. And it's one of those plays where you go, just when you think you're going to count someone out and just when you think they're going to lose, he steps up and bam, hits you in the mouth. So those are the four best quarterbacks in the league, in my opinion, this year. The question is, who's the best? And this is not a knock on Rodgers. This is not a knock on Lamar Jackson. I think the two best quarterbacks are Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson. And even though I said before this year started that I think Russell Wilson is going to win the league MVP, the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl MVP this year, if I had to say right now who the best quarterback in the league is, it's still Patrick Mahomes. Because what's crazy for Mahomes, he hasn't even reached his full potential yet. Think about that. His first 2 years as a starter, AFC Championship game, lost in overtime, threw 50 touchdown passes. And then the second year, he got hurt, stats weren't as great, and won a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl MVP. Think about that for a second. And somehow this guy could get better. So that's why I put Mahomes as the best quarterback in football. It's a tough question because I could give you an argument for Rodgers. I give you an argument for Lamar, and I could easily give you an argument for Russ. The thing I'll say, though, what separates Mahomes to me from the other three, if Rodgers gets down 10, 14 points, not that we haven't seen Rodgers have comebacks, though, with the team that he has, you don't feel confident of them coming back. If Lamar Jackson is down 10 points, you don't feel confident in Lamar leading on a comeback. If Russ is down 10, 14 points, you know, I would never rule him out, but there's a different feel with Mahomes being down 10 to 14 points. And Mahomes is never out of a game. So we're splitting hairs here. That's the difference maker to me when we all know that those four players are, to me, the four best quarterbacks in the NFL. So that's our poll question today. You could get at it on at Zach Gelb on Twitter, also at CBS Sports Radio. We'll get it up in just a second. Who's the best quarterback in the NFL? Here's the early returns. Lamar Jackson, 3.7%. Aaron Rodgers, 4.6%. Russell Wilson, 33.3%. And Patrick Mahomes, 58.3%. Now, if I take my Patriot fan cap off for a second and you tell me the Pats can't win the Super Bowl, the guy out of that four, if I could pick one to win the Super Bowl this year, I want to see Russ get the job done. Because Lamar, he has so much of his career ahead of him. Not that Russ is an old man. Rodgers, yes, the window is closing. Part of me, though, doesn't want to see the Packers organization rewarded for the way that they handled that draft. Mahomes just won one. So I'd like to see Russ win it this year, because then nationally, that would be the moment for Russ. Because I think a lot of people still associate Russ with that pick at the goal line with Malcolm Butler. He has been, though, a Super Bowl-winning quarterback before when they blew out the Broncos with Peyton Manning in that game in New York. He didn't get the credit, though, for that one. If they win this year or in the foreseeable future, he's the face of the organization. He's the guy that's synonymous now with the Seattle Seahawks, and all the praise and all the glory would go his way. 855-212-4CBS, that's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Who's the best quarterback in the league? Give us a call. Also, give us a tweet, at Zach Gelb on Twitter. And when we come on back, Lakers lose last night. Is there any concern about LA still getting to the championship game? I'm going to tell you why I hate that question when we return in 5 minutes.
Live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Yes, that's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's chat a little hoops. Game 3 last night, Lakers and Denver. Lakers up 2-0 in the series. How about Denver showing a little grit, showing a little fight, getting a 114-106 victory? So I knew when I was watching that last night that here would be the question, no matter what day part it is, morning drive, middays, afternoons, evenings, every talk show host that would be talking Denver and Lakers today is going to do the classic, are you concerned about the Lakers? 855-212-4CBS. Give me a call. And Connor could attest to this. I walk into the office today, and Tony, who cleans our office, first thing he said to me, I opened the door, got my coffee in hand, got the earbuds in, listening into a little music. What was I listening to on the way in? I was listening to a little Creed, then some U2. I was like all over the place today. And the first question I get, what do you think about the Nuggets? You think the Nuggets now are going to win the series? And I quickly said, nope, don't think they're going to win the series. And then Tony's trying to talk me up on why I should believe in the Nuggets. And I said to him, hold up. Yeah, I didn't think they were coming back from down 3-1 against the Jazz. I didn't think they were coming back down from 3-1 against the Clippers. But if you hear right before the NBA postseason started, I did a CBS Sports Minute. And I did a CBS Sports Minute. And in that Sports Minute, I said, Denver may not be ready right now to win a championship. In the next few years, though, this team is really going to take off, because I absolutely love Nikola Jokic, who at the time, and now everyone's praising him, I didn't think he got enough praise nationally. I believe in Jamal Murray, and I believe in the development, as long as he stays healthy, of Michael Porter Jr. And at the time, you saw a little bit from Bol Bol, and who knows what he'll turn into, but that was a good second-round draft pick. So I've been someone that I've been talking up the Nuggets. Can we be real, though? Do you see in any situation, any circumstance, and I know that this could sound hypocritical, because when they were down 3-1, most people would have said you never thought they were coming back when they were down 3-1 to the Jazz and the Clippers. Do you see any situation in this series who, to me, the team that was going to win the championship before the bubble started was the Lakers? When in a league that's dynamic duos, I've been riding with the Lakers the entire postseason. Do you see any way that the Lakers lose 4 games to the Nuggets? Because as much as I want to hype up Denver, as much as I like Denver, as much as I get excited and intrigued by Denver, I can't come up with an explanation how LeBron and AD, which is the best dynamic duo in the league, how they lose 4 times to this Denver Nuggets team. I just don't see it. And my job is to give you an argument. My job is to give you a thought, give you an opinion. I can't come up with anything on why Denver is going to take down the Lakers four times. And that's no disrespect to Denver whatsoever. It just speaks to how great LeBron James and Anthony Davis are. The only way the Lakers don't get to the finals is if Anthony Davis or LeBron James get hurt. That's the only way they don't get to the finals this year. And they got to win two more games where Denver has to go out and win three more games. And I just don't see it. And the thing that annoyed me the most last night, and if I'm a Lakers fan, even though you got to feel confident that you're going to win the championship, the thing that annoyed me the most last night was that the Lakers gave zero effort in the first three quarters. At one point, they're down like 18, 20 points. They gave zero effort in the first three quarters. This is a playoff game. You're in the Western Conference Finals. You shouldn't dog it in the first three quarters. I don't care if you're even in the series. I don't care if you're up 2-0. I don't care if you're up 3-0. You should not dog it. And right when the Lakers wanted to turn it up, it felt as that 18, 20-point lead quickly then got down to, what, 4 or 5 points. And when it got to 4 or 5 points in the fourth quarter, you started to think to yourself, now hold on, wait a minute, are the Lakers actually going to win this game? Is this going to be like the Warriors last year up against the Trailblazers where Portland would go up big lead, big lead, big lead and couldn't close any of those games out? And I'll give credit to Jamal Murray. I will give credit to Jamal Murray because that dude's stock out of any NBA player has benefited and has exponentially rise the greatest in this postseason. Because that dude went from many people thinking he's a very good player to that guy becoming a future superstar. With what he was able to do against the Jazz in the first round, what he was able to do coming on back with Jokic against the Clippers, and what he did last night down the stretch, it was awesome to have him get that moment where he's shimmying and he's celebrating. And right when you thought the Lakers were going to put the dagger and really end this series and go up 3-0, he put the game out of reach. So the only Lakers have to blame last night are themselves, because they didn't show up and they sleptwalk through the first three quarters. And if you don't believe me, watch last night, the best studio show in the business with Ernie Johnson, Kenny the Jet Smith, Shaq, and Charles Barkley. You don't believe me? It was the first words out of Shaq in the postgame last night, how the Lakers sleptwalked through the first three quarters. And even though I was disappointed by that, you know what it tells me? LeBron, Anthony Davis, they're not concerned one bit about this team. They could speak all the nice words. Oh, we respect Jokic. Oh, we respect Jamal Murray. That's a bunch of BS. Not that they don't respect them. However, when the Lakers found out and when they were watching the Nuggets come on back from down 3-1 against the lifeless Clippers, the Lakers are basically genuflecting and bowing down and kissing the feet of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic because they don't intimidate them. They know that they're going to win this series. You go up against the Clippers, though, that's a tougher series for them. That's a tougher series for the Lakers. And I still thought the Lakers would have won that series because the Clippers were so fraudulent this year with what ended up happening in the postseason. And I still can't believe that Paul George tried to tell us after that game, we'll get them next year. Internally, we didn't think this was championship or bust. That's a load of crap if we're being honest. And if you're the Lakers, you're sitting here and LeBron is already basically giving them the dimensions and giving them his ring size because he knows he's winning the championship this year. There's no Bucks, and I like Miami. I like the Celtics. But there's no Bucks, and there's no Clippers. And if you would have told LeBron that you'd be in the conference finals and there'd be no Clippers or no Bucks, he would say, where would I sign with that before even asking who the other three teams are that are remaining in the Final Four. So Lakers are going to win this series. They showed up at the last possible second last night and still almost won the game. But it was good to see Denver at least give you the thought that this is a series. And if Denver wants to really make this a conversation, then go on out there and win game four. I just don't see, though, how the Lakers, unless if an injury happens to LeBron or AD, I don't see how the Lakers lose four games here to the Denver Nuggets. Let's take one before the break. Stead's listening in Richmond, Virginia. He's first up on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Stead, go ahead.
What's going on, man? How are you?
Doing fantastic. What do you got for me, brother?
So, honestly, I don't think the Nuggets will pull it out and beat the Lakers. I will say this, though. I would love to see it go to seven games. But what's exciting and what I love about the Nuggets is they go against the DNA of the NBA right now. And teams like the Warriors and the Houston Rockets, you know, they kind of like made it the way it is now. High-volume shooting threes and things like that, analytics. And I'm a Bulls fan. So, for example, I look at a guy like Wendell Carter Jr. all season, good and bad. You saw how bad our past two seasons went. But I'm looking at certain plays where he's in the mid-range, and he has a beautiful touch as a big man. But they're telling him not to shoot jumpers, to just be that guy that when you have the ball at inside the three-point line at the top of the key, to wait for a guard to come and get it from you instead of you shooting. It got to the point where big men left him wide open. And my point is what I love about the Nuggets is they play their game the way they play it and not based off this DNA of the NBA, based off what the Rockets and the Warriors did to the league, but based off of what their players can do. So them having guys like Michael Porter Jr. now makes it even scarier because they're getting that athletic ability and that additional stuff on top of them already just doing simple things like high basketball IQ. And they keep it simple and make it look fun.
It's a great point. They're a fun team to root for, and they play with a tremendous amount of energy, and it's a young team that's really up and coming. And to get to the Western Conference Finals this year, it's such an accomplishment, especially in the circumstances that they did it. And give them credit. You know, Jokic is the starter for that team. He controls the pace and the tempo for that team. He fills up the stat sheet, points, assists, rebounds, and then Murray is the closer. And then it's who are the other two guys that are going to step up. And you got 26 from Grant last night. I know Michael Porter Jr. only gives you 9, but we've seen the potential that he has. And this is a guy who got hurt in college at Missouri. He's still very young and raw in this league, and he's shown you some big-time moments here in the postseason so far. That's a team that I hope continues to take flight. And I'm not going to say they're going to become a destination. I will wonder, though, if anyone wants to join that party in the next two off seasons. We'll break here. We'll come on back. We'll do a little preview on game 4 tonight, Celtics and Heat. This is a must-win for the Boston Celtics, down 2-1. They were down 2-0. They won game 3. We'll get to the keys of this coming up as this game's going to get underway at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. First up, though, we get an update in. Here's Rich Ackerman.
The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
Michelle Tafoya going to stop by at the top of the hour. Whole lot to talk to with the best sideline reporter in the business when it comes to covering football. We got to get into this big Saints-Packers matchup in New Orleans coming up on Sunday Night Football. And also just a lot of good games on your Week 3 schedule. Rams-Bills going to be a fun one Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern. You got at 4:25. You got a little Cowboys and Seahawks. Like we said, Packers and Saints. And then on Monday night, you got Chiefs and Ravens. Any other games stand out to you this week? Bears and Falcons probably doesn't have a lot of buzz. I'll be curious to see if the Falcons can not only show up, which they did last week, but can they show up when it counts? And the Bears, I'm not a believer in them at 2-0. Is there any other games that are sneaky kind of, all right, I'll be a little bit intrigued. Lions-Cardinals doesn't do much for me. Bucks and Broncos doesn't do much for me. I know Brady doesn't usually play well in Denver. That Denver team's just decimated. The Colts should roll the Jets. Panthers-Chargers, I'll be curious to see Herbert another week. We'll get into the whole Herbert situation, the Tyrod Taylor disaster coming up in a bit. And you got Washington and Cleveland. So, really, you got 4 marquee games this weekend. Chiefs-Ravens, Packers-Saints, Cowboys-Seahawks, and then you got the Rams and the Bills. You get those 4, those are 4 great games. You give me 4 great games on a Sunday, Monday slate. Yeah, I sign up for that in just a second. All right, I'm hoping we get a great game tonight in the NBA between the Celtics and the Heat. So the first 2 games were awesome. Boston up big. Boston can't close a lead. Both really good finishes. You have The Giannis, not the Giannis Antetokounmpo block. He's not there. He's sitting home because of what the Heat did to him. But you had the Bam Adebayo block. So, and Jimmy Butler's had so many big moments. And then in game three, you saw the response from Boston, where they get out to a big lead. At one point, it gets cut to single digits, and they were able to not make that much of a game in game three, and they closed it out. You also saw Gordon Hayward come back. He played 30-something minutes and only gave you 6 points. Tonight in game four, I'm pulling for Boston. I'm pulling for Boston because I think we deserve, it doesn't mean we'll get it, I think we deserve to see these two teams get to a seventh game. And let's be real, if the Heat win tonight, and if Miami goes up 3-1, they're not pulling the Clippers. They're not giving that series back to Boston. They just won't do it like what the Clippers did to the Denver Nuggets or what the Jazz did to the Denver Nuggets as well. They will not go up. If the Heat go up 3-1, they are going to the finals, which would be a remarkable story. Because going into this year, did anyone think the Heat could get to the finals? No. Like, even if you weren't huge on Giannis and the Bucks, the other teams you were talking about were Philly, you were talking about Boston. No one was talking about the Miami Heat. And Jimmy Butler went there, and he obviously saw something that no one else saw with this team. And he trusted Spoelstra, he trusted Pat. And you have a good roster here with Duncan Robinson. Tyler Hero's a stud early on in his career, and he just possesses so much confidence. And Bam did take a massive step in the right direction this year. Miami's a team where we talk about Denver, how they're up and coming. And then I asked, well, will people join the party in Denver? I don't know if people are going to join the party in Denver. I know the next 2 years, you're going to see people go, oh, Miami? And I get to go live down on South Beach and go parade at Joe Stonecrabs and Prime 112 and go out to 11 when it's safe to do so. Yeah, I'll go to Miami. I'll go live that beautiful life in Miami. I have no problem doing so. So Miami, they're going to be a pain in the rear end for years and years to come. I just want to see this go seven, so I'm going with the Celtics tonight. I think I would not touch these games if I were betting on them. I would not bet on these games. Because in these series, we've seen Boston in all three of these games go up big. First two games, they couldn't close. Third game, they were able to slam the door shut. So what do I look for in this game tonight? I want to see if the Heat could play better from the start. Can we see in game four the Heat maybe go up by 10 points? The Heat go up by double digits and then have to have the Boston Celtics fight and scratch and claw their way back into it. And the thing you look for Boston, can your formula work once again where you go up big and you have a big lead at some point in the third quarter, maybe as big as what, 17 points, 14 points we've seen that lead get up to in the first two games of the series, up by 14, couldn't deliver at the end, and they were up by 17 at one point in that second game, and they couldn't walk away with the victory. So can we see Boston go up big again, which I think you can, and it will once again be the question that was asked in game three, can they walk away with the victory? And we saw they were able to do so in game three. I picked Boston to win this series in six games. If I had to revise that, I would still go with Boston. I just think Boston is the better team. Now, I've been more impressed this year with what we've been able to see out of Miami because Boston was expected to be in the mix. Miami wasn't. So I've been more impressed with Miami, but I'm still believing in Tatum, in Brown, in Kemba Walker, and Gordon Hayward. He's going to be a major factor in this series because he wasn't great in game three. I know they won the game. He's an experienced player, though. At one time was considered, what, a top 15 player in this league? And then ever since the injuries, he has phased out of there because he hasn't been able to stay healthy. He was finding a groove, and then unfortunately, he got hurt. Now he's back. He's got a game under his belt. Let's see if we could get a productive Gordon Hayward tonight. So those are the things that I really look for. And I really do believe whoever wins this game tonight, they're going to win the series. And I know if you're a Heat fan, you could say, oh, well, if it gets the 2-2, why do you automatically think the Celtics are going to win? I just think this is the deciding game of this series. Yes, you still have to go out there and win two more games. But if you're Miami, you have a chance to basically end the series tonight to go up 3-1. And the two things to watch, like I've been saying, if you take Hayward out of the equation, is can Miami actually play from ahead tonight and not have to claw their way back at the end? And Boston, can they replicate what they've done through the first three games of this series, attack, attack, attack early, get up to a double-digit lead, feel really good about yourself, and then send that message on what happened the first two games isn't truly who we are? Because I said this, and I'll take it back to the Raptors series, and this is no disrespect to Toronto. Toronto has been a team. Toronto and the Heat, and I'll even throw the Pacers in there too. They were the three teams this year that in the Eastern Conference you're probably the most impressed by. Because everyone thought Toronto was going to fall off after losing Kawhi. They had the second best record in the league. Miami, we discussed about it. No one thought they were going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals this year. And then I give credit to Indiana. Not that I ever thought they were a title threat, but to be better than Philadelphia this year when you didn't have Victor Oladipo for most of the season, that was a really good coaching job by Nate McMillan. And I'm still dumbfounded how he lost his job, and we'll see who does fill that vacancy. As you still got Philadelphia open, they're trying to get either D'Antoni or they're trying to get Ty Lue. But we'll find out who's going to Houston as well. Indiana, still open too. So we'll see who fills the Pelicans' job as well. As yesterday, the Bulls did hire Billy Donovan, which it caught me by surprise. I like the hire, though. I do like the hire because even though I don't believe in Chicago, you got a new regime there, and you got some young players. And Billy Donovan knows how to develop talent going back to Florida and what he was able to get out of that roster this year with the Oklahoma City Thunder. If I was Billy, though, would you have rather gone to the Pelicans? Would you rather have gone? Who knows if the interest was there? Would you rather have gone to Philadelphia? Would you rather have gone to Houston? Those are all things that probably were on the table, and he elected to take that Chicago job. So if you make me have a prediction tonight, I'll go with Boston. I don't feel great about it. I think all these games are toss-ups, as we've seen so far in the Eastern Conference Finals. But since I picked Boston going in, I'll pick them to even up the series tonight. And then you got a best of three to figure out who goes to the NBA Finals. But if, once again, and I said this like nine times in this segment, I'll say it again. If Miami wins tonight, this series is over. They go up 3-1. They're going to find a way to win a fourth game. I just have a feeling, even though as tough could be that the Heat have been this year, I like that roster better for the Celtics. I really do. Michelle Tafoya going to join us next. Is there concern with the Saints? And are the Packers now a Super Bowl contender? We'll chat with the Sunday Night Football reporter next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.